Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this May the 3rd on the West Coast, now May the 4th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd also like to welcome those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world and on blogtalkradio.com. Well, there's a lot of news to discuss this evening, and we're going to talk about what appears to be some more false flag events that have been occurring over the weekend, and some events started as far back as April 20th, and by the time the word got out and developed into the situation we have today, the shorelines of the Gulf region of the southern United States is being threatened right now as we speak. And we're going to be talking to tonight's guest about all these different events that are occurring and get his take on what might be going on. And prior to doing that, bringing him on the show, I want to share something, a little message from James Pence. And I thought this was rather interesting take on this issue of worldwide terrorism. And the piece I'm going to play is called, If I Was a Terrorist.
If I was a terrorist and I wanted to destroy the American way of life, I wouldn't use planes and bombs to kill folks. Hell's bells, that's too risky. You might get caught or killed or both. Real terrorists get results. And then they lay the blame where it can't be found. So here's what I would do if I was a terrorist. I would foreclose on millions of homes, you know, kick folks out of their houses. I would devalue the dollar so the price of everything would go up. I would outsource their jobs so they couldn't find work. I would move the factories to foreign countries, you know, all the good-paying factory jobs. I would make education unaffordable. You know, terrorists don't like having educated people around. I would make health care difficult to get and let the insurance companies just get away with murder. I would listen to their telephone calls, monitor their emails, and use that information to really stick it to them. Then I would give myself a big old tax cut, sit back in luxury, and watch them fight over the crumbs. But you know what? We live in the United States of America. Thank you, Jesus. And the people that represent us would never, ever let them get away with that, would they? Would they?
That was from James Pence, and that's called If I Was a Terrorist. Gives you something to think about, doesn't it? Because that's really what we're going through right now in this country. And others are going through similar things around the world. Although, in many places, in Europe, for example, it's already gone that way, and they're just dealing with a corrupt EU, which we'll probably talk about to some extent. Tonight's guest is a regular guest on Evident Footprints for some time now. On Monday nights, he hosts his own radio show, The Story Behind the Story, heard on republicbroadcasting.org. And he is also an author, I have to say, former naturopath, because the government says that college degree, his certificate to practice that branch of medicine, is in conflict, I guess, with companies like Monsanto and Big Pharma. It's a travesty what they're trying to pull, but at the same time, we're exposing a lot of truth, a lot of historical truth, and we're going to get into that with him tonight. He's very familiar with my own research, and he and I have done some collaboration on a few stories, the Fort Hood incident, Hardin, Montana, with the American police force, and certainly the bogus pandemic, both the bird flu and the swine flu vaccine scare tactics that have been going on. We pointed out who's making money, why certain people are out there promoting all this stuff, and I suppose we'll continue working on some parallel stories together. I'm very pleased to bring back to Evident Footprints tonight our good friend, Dr. A. Truat. Drew, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks again, Don. I appreciate that little clip. He's exactly right. It's not even so much an act of terror as it is a pre-planned disintegration of American ideals. And you know, I guess not even just American, but Western ideals. Yeah, so, I mean, on it goes. The incident in the Gulf, as you said, as I mentioned to you earlier, I have a good friend who received a phone call over the weekend from a gentleman in New Orleans. He attends a Christian church down there who had a special guest speaker in their Sunday services, where he basically outlined the oil rig in question that's having so many problems. The total evidence is that it was completely sabotaged. There is no doubt about it. Now they are waiting for the media to break the story, and today, Monday, no media has ventured to talk about it, Don, though the gentleman in question said there were numerous press releases out to the mainstream media. Again, it ties into the reason why, and you explained that so well as well, the put options, as you said, put out by Goldman Sachs on this very thing, the put options being, of course, knowing that it would their stocks would decline in value. Again, more shenanigans going on.
Yes, and despite the fact that it's illegal, they just did it flat out in front of our face. Now, there's some interesting facts that are associated with this whole story. And, you know, when I first heard about this, my first thought was, boy, this reeks of George H.W. Bush, a.k.a. George H. Scherf, Jr. And wouldn't you know that there's a connection of the company that owns the Deepwater Horizon, which is what this rig was called, was owned by Transocean Limited, based in Zug, Switzerland. And their principal office is located in Houston, Texas, with an office also in Zug and Vernier, Switzerland. And in there's another office in Georgetown, the Cayman Islands. Now, Zug is where Mark Rich lives. I don't know if you recall that name, his real name, when he snuck into Canada in 1954. On his passport was Hans Brandt. And he said that he was a farmer back then. Yeah, farming drugs and arms and large sums of cash that are being laundered and have been for a number of years. Now, he was in prison, and he was under investigation right at the end of the tenure of Bill Clinton, the second 4 years of Bill Clinton's tenure. So here we have something that is, again, reeking of this international corruption. He disappeared. He was, at the time, Elliot Spitzer, I believe, was the one who was actually investigating him. And, you know, nobody could imagine that they would let this guy go. But then again, they had to get him back into Europe where he could carry out his dirty deeds. Now, I had tracked him down in Holland and Spain, and I had forwarded that information to Christopher Story. He was quite amazed, but I found him connected with Dresser Industries, Now, Dresser Industries is the company that flew George Bush from Connecticut when he went to Midland, Texas, many, many years ago. And they crafted this story about how he rode into town on a Studebaker. It was a lot of bunk. He was flown there by Dresser Industries. And so that connection is there. That's a very, very important connection, because it was that connection that put George Bush and Prescott Bush and the whole Klan, who were really the sheriffs, in the oil business. And tied into the Bay of Pigs incident. It tied into the Kennedy assassination. Just on and on, one act after another. And this guy just doesn't let up. Now, there's a play for trillions of dollars, particularly a $6.2 trillion loan to Michael C. Cottrell's Pennsylvania Investments. And the Queen of England was in the country very recently and went back to England, I understand. She usually comes here every May for the Kentucky Derby. However, I doubt that she went to the race. They would have made an announcement about it. So there's a lot of shenanigans going on. And, of course, the Bank of England, being part of this international money laundering ring that they run through Goldman Sachs and Citibank, J.P. Morgan, and some a whole host of other banks in New York, along with Deutsche Bank, are all interconnected in playing these put options and derivatives. And they had the same thing going on in Europe that we had going on here in New York. Same corruption. So there is a financial motive for this. And it's basically to cause a nightmare for British Petroleum and the Queen of England. Any comments you want to make about that?
No, I'm just, again, I've been out of pocket. I apologize for the last 5 days, actually. And so I'm just catching up on my contact list. And, yeah, you're absolutely right on, Don. I have an email from the gentleman I spoke about. And good heavens, they're estimating the oil spill cost now is over $14 billion. That's not counting, of course, what's happening to the fishing industry again, as well as the other wildlife issues that are affecting that spill. It's just absolutely massive in the amount of oil coming out. Millions of gallons of oil per hour or per day.
Mm-hmm. Well, so far I heard a report this evening that it was somewhere around 2.6 million gallons, 2.6 million. Now, they underreported the amount that's actually leaking, saying something like it's 5,000 gallons a day is what I heard. And then I read another report from an engineer who said it's more like 200,000 gallons per day. So that would put it about at the right place since the 20th. It's a tremendous, tremendous amount of destruction to the ecosystem that's going on.
Yeah, and I just got a picture from my gentleman. He shows me the aluminum helideck. There's an absolute hole burned in that flat out is not natural. Absolutely not. So why is this not on the news media right now is the question. Why is this being covered up?
Well, it's on Evident Footprints, and I shared this with Drew Raines and his audience this afternoon. So we are getting this information out. Chris Story actually did a brilliant job writing this up. You know, you have this flip-flopping going on as well there's you can drill or you can't drill. You can drill you know, I should play the great Reneger again, I think, because That's what's going on. This has been determined as a means to profit somehow, corruptly to profit financially, and they just don't give a hoot about the environment. There's no doubt about that. Now, I'm getting a message from Dr. Mike Castle, and I know he wanted to chime in with us this evening.
Mm-hmm.
So if you bear with me, Drew, I'm going to try to patch him into the conversation here and get his take on this, because he's quite upset about what's happening to the environment. So we're going to see if he picks up here, and it looks like he is. Dr. Mike Castle, are you with us?
Good evening.
Good evening. You made it. Okay, how are you?
Are my headphones messed up, or am not certain what it is?
Are you hearing me?
Say again.
Are you hearing me?
I can hear you, but not in my headphones. For some reason, it blanked it out.
Are they plugged in?
They're. Yeah, I don't unplug those. And I don't know, there could be a mouse or a rat or even a snake back there chewing on them wires, you know what I'm saying? Anyways, well, this is okay. I can hear you there, but I'll still just sit here with my headphones on. Well, anyways, good evening. I had no feed or anything from the show. I couldn't get it.
Oh, I see. Well, I can't answer your call during the show, so you have to understand that.
Oh, no. I'm just saying I just try to use the regular route of getting the show tonight, and nothing that I done would allow me to get the show.
Well, I don't think we put out a message that you weren't supposed to get it, so... I really can't tell you what's going on. Anyway, say hello to Dr. H. Uwat, if you would.
Well, hello. Well, actually, heaven o, Dr. H. Uwat.
Heaven o to you, too.
Yeah, we're saying heaven o now. Pardon me for saying hello. we've been talking about this oil spill, and that there's sufficient proof that it's sabotage, and that Goldman Sachs has positioned themselves to make a killing off of this tragedy financially. So, and we mentioned the fact that there's about 2.6 million gallons of oil that have escaped from the well, which is at about, I understand it's about 5,000 feet below the surface of the water. So it's rising upwards from there, but there's a heck of a lot of pollution going on underwater. Any comment you want to make on that?
Well, actually, what you just said, Don, I don't think it's really fathomable, get that word out, fathomable exactly just how destructive putting these dispersants into it is going to be. It's just going to be unbelievable. That the repercussions from this is what they done at the Valdez. This is what Exxon done when they had that 11 million gallon spill there. They put dispersants on it. That, in fact, just impaired the entire ecosystem from that day forward. They still can't get fish to spawn in those areas that were contaminated. And see, it wasn't the oil, it was the dispersants that they put on it. That's the same thing that's going to happen, and it's going to be all throughout the Gulf of Mexico. And by the way, those types of chemicals that's used by Nalco as a dispersants, know a little bit about that. No, those are the endocrine system impactors. Those are the ones that turns males into females, if you're a frog or a fish or humans. It's the same stuff.
What does it do to a female now?
Let's see. Well, that's a good question. Glad you asked that. I'll have to check that out.
I'm outside the box. You got to remember that.
Well, yeah, you are.
Well, I've been trying to follow this, but there's not a lot of information. There's not a lot of reliable information coming out. And of course, when you hear this from the mainstream media, you get the spin right away. Everyone is blaming BP for this. And we have come up with a few reports that two Air Force jets were seen in the vicinity. And I know that you had gotten that information from Dr. Dean Lloyd, was it?
Correct.
Do you want to expound on that at all?
Well, we were just talking and things are going on, and we were, in fact, saying, just commenting about the what's going on down there. That's no accident. He said, yeah, there was some people that were down there, in fact, that had passed word along that they had spotted two Air Force aircraft in the area. And that's about all the intel that came from that. But then I heard that somewhere else from overseas in an email. Just info flowing through, and you got to watch out for that sort of foul stuff. So, but I heard the same thing. So that immediately, in fact, began the thought process, this is the perfect setup for a directed energy weapon. I mean, how else would that thing have caught on fire? Static? Lightning?
Well, as Christopher Story described it, the concrete casing is what gave way. And this is the second time that this has happened in a year. And that has been blamed on Halliburton. But if they use some kind of directed energy weapon to sabotage this thing... And from having talked to a couple of people, for example, I talked to Lindsey Williams very recently, and he said there is no way that that could just happen on its own, that the precautions are taken. He said it's definitely indicative of sabotage. He's going to be on the show this Wednesday, by the way, to share some new information from the elite, some stuff that no one has heard yet. So
all of that hardware, though, Don, is in fact is precision, extreme environment, high pressure equipment. So, you know, that's not something that fails. That's like your pistons failing. It just doesn't really happen often. So, you know, there's no way that something like that could have just failed without some type of something else going on there.
Yeah. And then we have the issue of 115 of the 126 workers who were at the site being rescued, but they don't talk about who the other 11 were. That's kind of interesting, too. So we don't know that those people were killed or that they escaped. We don't even know who they were. And of course, the media that turns such an event into a feeding frenzy hasn't reported anything about that.
No, so, I heard one spin say that they must have been blown away. I'm serious. I heard that on one of the medias. I think it was Fox News, but one of the commentators, in fact, said that they're presumed to have been blown away. My question immediately was, to where?
Yeah, was it windy?
I'm sorry, Drew, I didn't mean to interrupt you, sir.
No, you're fine.
Go ahead, Drew.
I'm just sitting here reading the report on Halliburton. They've been ordered to produce documentation of their role in this. Supposed to have it into the congressional committee by the 7th of May. So it looks like this was either a rigged job by, you know, the Halliburton boys, or it could have just been, you know, faulty work. Either way, this appears to be the culprit, and BP is the victim, British Petroleum.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about it. When I had heard that, based on what's been going on, because there was this attempt not too long ago, to abscond with $6.2 trillion that was loaned to Pennsylvania Investment, as I mentioned at the top of the show. And what they had done is they had put the name of a Chicago, New York mob figure on Michael C. Cottrell's corporate documents in the state of Pennsylvania at the Secretary of State office. I don't know if that's the correct term because Pennsylvania is a commonwealth. Of course, this was totally fraudulent. He is all the officers of his corporation. And he was loaned this money to kickstart a new economy. And based on things that he had presented, the Queen of England decided to loan him this money. They tried stealing it. Now, we've reported that. Chris Story is the first one to come out with that, and I've posted his article or articles pertaining to that on my website. On the heels of that, we also have a $3.87 trillion lawsuit against the SEC for allowing brokerage firms in New York City to sell 2.2 trillion shares of bogus stock from the CMKM/CMKX diamond mines in Saskatchewan, Canada. Imagine that. This is the type of corruption. And now,
just never ends, does
yeah,
it?
Now, they're supposedly suing Goldman Sachs, which is why they're having these hearings in Congress. But they're going to sweep this under the rug unless we keep voicing what's going on. We know they're listening to us.
Right.
We know that. We know the mainstream media is listening to us, too. You know, get some gonads, people, and report the truth.
Yeah, what happened to Glenn Beck?
Oh, you don't want to hear what I have to say about that. So.
Well, no, I mean, he's kind of like, I don't know if he's AWOL or whatever, but, you know, we got this thing that came around again that there was going to be something on the news, Fox News yesterday, an expose, but because of this battle between the White House and Glenn Beck and the show and the Tea Party and all that stuff. You know, it's the escalated spin, but that's where it's at. But there was going to be alleged exclusive at 9 p.m. Sunday Eastern Time on the, I forget how they phrased that, Don, but it was his alternative radical background, alluding to possibly, you know, different types of lifestyles, different types of, okay. And immediately Larry St. Clair popped into my head, so, but.
No. Actually, what's going on there, he, in his biography, his autobiography, in his story, he admits to having had a love affair with his sister, and he thinks it's totally fine that the siblings should have relations. Yeah, I kid you not. He admits publicly he's infatuated in love with his sister.
You just can't make this stuff up.
No, I'm not. And
I mean, no, who would want to? I mean, ooh.
Yeah.
You know, it's just
not Larry Sinclair. It's his sweet sister. And him being active Mormon, we're not talking about Sister Jones.
Yes. Well, I just got a message from Christopher Holmes, who's going to be on Thursday night show. And he asked me to read this to the listeners. This is a short article, only because they want me to subscribe to read the whole thing. So I'll read the first part of it here. It's dated April 30th of 2010. Goldman Sachs reveals it shorted Gulf of Mexico. And it says satire. New York, the Borowitz Report. In what is looming as another public relations predicament for Goldman Sachs, the banking giant admitted today that it made a substantial financial bet against the Gulf of Mexico one day before the sinking of an oil rig in that body of water. The new revelations came to light after government investigators turned up new emails from Goldman employee Fabrice Fabulous Fab Touré, in which he bragged to a girlfriend that the firm was taking a Big Short position on the Gulf.
Big Short.
Yes. This is a quote here now. One oil rig goes down and we're going to be rolling in dough, Mr. Touré wrote in one email. Suck it, fishies and birdies. The news about Goldman's bet against the Gulf comes on the heels of embarrassing revelations that the firm had taken a short position on Lindsay Lohan's acting career. Why aren't these people in jail? Why haven't they been arrested? Why hasn't this firm's accounts been frozen?
They also shorted the drilling company on Tranquilon Ridge, I understand, there at off the coast of California, Santa Barbara. And I just pulled this up today at 3:52 p.m. Governor Schwarzenegger announced that he's now pulling the plug on the drilling permits on Tranquilon Ridge. Quote, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, citing the damage caused to the environment by the massive oil spill in the Gulf Coast, said Monday he is yanking from his state budget any plan proposing new drilling off the coast of Santa Barbara. The governor had prior been a proponent of the Tranquilon Ridge project, which he had said could generate $140 million for his upcoming budget year to help prevent cutbacks in state programs. Despite the governor's support, the project had stalled amid opposition from lawmakers and the State Lands Commission, which has jurisdiction over such oil leases. Again, the stock for that was shorted by Wall Street as well.
Yes. Now, I've got a listener out there that's asking me to read another article. And this article actually is the same article that Sorcha Fall wrote, okay? They don't do rumors from nuns in the Kremlin, people. Get that through your head. They don't do rumors in the Kremlin. And there are no nuns with Western subscribers walking around the floor of the Kremlin. Please, use some brains. Don't even worry about discernment. Just use your brains.
As of Rachel. Sorchapal is an acronym for As of Rachel. Rachel, it is a Mossad intelligence network, ladies and gentlemen. Understand that. Not to say that the information they put out is not 90% accurate. It is. But there's twists, very, very strong twists in it for purposes, for people to become angered with no place to go.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, the piece that I read is certainly pointing out some things that are going on. I've heard about the emails already. But you've got to understand that there's a tremendous amount of disinformation that's out there. These schemes and scams are across the board with the company. There's not just one individual out there that's sending an email talking about this. They're getting people to put up the money, or they've already stolen the money, or they're just creating the money out of thin air playing these numbers games. You've got Goldman Sachs, ex-Goldman Sachs employees in the Treasury Department running it, and it's been this way for quite some time. This is covered up. Oh, like those are the only people qualified to run the Treasury? Come on, let's get real. But you know, this story that I was asked to read, I'm not going to read. North Korea did not torpedo that oil rig. That's total crap, that story. And that came out with Sorcha Fall. And it makes its way to other blog sites where people don't even identify who they are. You want to trust those people and they can't even tell you who they are? They can't stand behind their work or their investigation? And Sorcha Fall is a psyop. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. What's I didn't know there were North Koreans operating in the Gulf of Mexico.
Well, there aren't. But you see, they have to blame somebody for doing this, right? They have to put a diversionary story out there to brainwash people. Speaking of which, Chris Holmes, who's going to be on the show Thursday, just came out with a new book called The Heart Doctrine. And he goes into science's attempts over time to tell us that consciousness is in the mind. And I can tell you that it can be in the mind, but only after it enters through the heart. And what they feed your mind is propaganda and disinformation and brainwashing. That's what they feed our mind. If we just believe everything they say, then you're not going to need discernment. Just believe in the ruse, believe in the lies. We're uncovering this over and over and over again. If I may shift gears on another topic for a moment, and I'd like to get your feedback on this. No 1K tones, though. the work that I just completed on Eisenhower and the scandal out of Denison, Texas. Here we had a president that was made into a war hero, but he was a total fraud. And it was a money laundering ring that's still in operation today. It's why the country is in the state it is in today, because of what was done to bring this man to power and to keep him in power and to build this secret infrastructure of infiltrators, fascists and communists and Zionists, operating through the banks, through the railroads, through the unions, through the Veterans Administration, through the U.S. Army, through the U.S. Navy, through the U.S. Postal System. It's all documented in that article that I wrote. Now, a week ago Sunday, an article came out in The Guardian in the U.K., and they bring to our attention, of course, our media doesn't do this. This comes out in England. They bring our attention to the fact that Stephen Ambrose, the official biographer who claimed to have spent hundreds and hundreds of hours with Dwight David Eisenhower to write his biography, and actually over a dozen books that he wrote. One became a movie called Saving Private Ryan, and the other TV series, Band of Brothers, were supposed to have been inspired by all of these accounts that Eisenhower had given this man. He passed away in 2002, Stephen Ambrose, and the Presidential Museum in Abilene, Kansas, which I think is ridiculous because it shouldn't be anywhere in this country. This man was not an American. And, you know, take a prefab building and put it up somewhere in Austria-Hungary. That's where it deserves to be. Or at the EU in Brussels. Put it there. Because they created this man, and he was from Austria-Hungary. But the Abilene, Kansas Eisenhower Museum and Foundation says that they went over the records of all the appointments that Eisenhower had, and they said giving him 5 hours, total hours, five, not hundreds and hundreds over a two-year period. Just 5 hours is stretching it too much. Maybe only two, possibly 3 hours. That just underscores the accuracy of the research that I did, that this man was a total lie, that the American people were lied to. The history books are filled with lies. And then his biographer and the movie companies that made these films based on these lies are equally responsible for lying to us about history. We can deal with the truth. We can deal with that. What we can't deal with is the lies. And that's all we get. It doesn't matter if it's an oil well or if it's vaccinations or it's chemtrails or it's an illegal person being in a position of power in this country. What is it going to take for people to wake up to these realities? I wanted to make that point that I had nothing to do with that report coming out, but it's underscored, and I can tell them they should be publishing what I wrote, putting it there for people to see.
Because you're right about that.
You know, I mean, that's not ego talking. That's the truth.
No, you're absolutely right, Don. Absolutely right about that.
Drew, I don't know if you got to read that piece, but I've got documentation that proves that third parties were involved, and no doctors, in creating a birth certificate for this guy.
Well, I haven't had a chance to review that. Did you send it on to me?
Yes, I did. Actually, I did. Of course, you can go to my website, directlightproductions.com, click on articles, and you'll see Teenage Mutant Ninja Birth Certificate.
Okay, got that. Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, so what do we do about it? That's the question, I guess.
Well, this is a step, certainly revealing it. I mean, what more should I do at this point, do you think? I'm willing to entertain anything anybody wants to say.
Well, that's the thing. It's a big question in my mind. Is okay? These illegal acts are going on. Goldman Sachs is making billions and laughing all the way to the international bank. And like you said, why aren't these people in jail? Why aren't they arrested? Why are they allowed to rake such environmental havoc, and all for money again? And look what's going. It's going to eventually jack the price of oil up there, as Lindsay Williams would tell you. It's all again a pre-planned move to create a shortage once again, another Hurricane Katrina type of thing. It's unbelievable what they're getting away with.
Well, yeah, and it's been the same people since the time of Nikola Tesla. It's been the same group of people. Supposedly shut down in 1941, or let's say caught. You know, they caught the Union Banking Corporation trading with the enemy was the act under which they were under investigation, and they claim that they shut them down in 1942. Is it a coincidence that this operation ran out of Denison, Texas, and Salt Lake City, Utah, and really all across the country? It connects. You know, I found the lists of the aliases. You just can't imagine how many aliases were created. And I have the letters. I have the letters between certain individuals in key places. You can't get these people to respond to you if you donated $10,000 to their campaign fund. You're lucky if you got a postcard in a thank you note from them. And they're responding back to the character that created the false, fraudulent birth certificate. And you know, important people, James Forrestal, Eisenhower himself, Lyndon Johnson. These people were all infiltrators. And, you know, I spent about 5 minutes going down the rabbit hole on Lyndon Johnson, and I know I'm going to find the same things with him, too, because I found discrepancies in the amount of time from when he met Lady Bird and they got married. He wanted to get married on the spot the day he met her. Now, what kind of story is that? Come on. But that's what they publish. Okay? And then we hear 8 weeks, 10 weeks. Well, when you figure out, if you just take the day they met and the day they got married, you have to figure one or both of the stories is a lie, number one. And certainly the amount of time that they waited to get married after they met is a lie. So why lie about these things? Because they are not who they pretend to be. You're telling me a 15-year-old graduates from high school, goes to California for some undisclosed amount of time, comes back to Texas, spends $75 getting a degree, a teaching degree, and after 1 year leaves the school without the degree and becomes a principal, and then is teaching 5th, 6th, and 7th grade at the same time he's a principal of a school? What kind of country were we living in back then, let alone now? You know, that's 5 minutes of research that I uncovered that. Imagine if I spent 5 hours, what I would come up with. It's just one infiltrator after another. That's what we're dealing with here. We're not dealing with the legitimate government. This is organized crime. Comments, gentlemen.
That is exactly right. This is an organized crime. This is a syndicate. It's the big one. It's the one that's got the weapons, and they've got everything, and they've had this cast in place for a long time, and their minions are all there. And incidentally, True, I really was kind of breathless there for a while today with the guest that Doug Millar had on. So
yes, he was amazing.
It was an extremely powerful show. Boy, I'm certain it got a lot of attention too somewhere. But Don, what you're talking about though is these have been bred in actually into entire lines of families, and we're not talking about the Rothschilds either. We're talking about all these other things that he called it the military-industrial complex. Well, you in fact corrected it and called it what its appropriate name was, the Congressional Military-Industrial Complex. And that was a call sign that success had been carried out.
I even modified it at the end of the piece and called it the Congressional Military-Industrial Religious Complex, because they were using the cover of at least three churches to create these false identities for people. And then they would cover up their careers to explain why people were receiving money after these people allegedly died. What that was just moving the assets from one place to another, you see. So they had to turn these people into spooks. And they created, in the Presbyterian Church, they created obituaries. The Mormons didn't waste time doing the obituaries. They gathered all the data. They still published the lists. And what they did is they said, well, this is a cemetery document. And, you know, I've explained this to people. It's like someone being born in New York. They grow up in New York, go to school in California, spend the rest of their life in California, and they get buried in Utah. It doesn't happen that way in the real world.
Bountiful, by any chance?
Yeah, Bountiful, Utah is one of
them. Yeah, it was amazing how many ended up in Bountiful, Utah.
Yeah. What a great name for the scam, too. You know, or they were born and raised in Las Vegas, lived their whole life in Las Vegas, and were buried in Salt Lake City. Of course, there's no plot number. There's no land plat associated with it. It's just a name. Many of the people are listed there, and they have no place of birth or no date of birth, no date of death even in some cases. And those are really the key names. Those are the names that lead back to Denison, Texas, for example, or Denver, Colorado. It's amazing, absolutely amazing what they did.
And then you got all the, you know, I'm my own grandpa type stuff kept going on.
Oh yeah, yeah. And I mean, if you were to do the research,
non-entities, non-people, non-persons. And in fact, they in fact just are sloppy enough that all this was put in there, and then you found that some of these people, in fact, had married their daughters and had kids.
Granddaughters. Well,
granddaughters.
if you follow the storyline and look at the documentation in Texas, that's the only conclusion you can draw.
Right.
Well, of course, it's all fraud. That's the point. It's all fraud. Because these people infiltrated our country, and the taxpayers paid for these programs. You know, where does the military get their money? I mean, we know they sell drugs, they smuggle drugs, we know that. But these government programs, if you ask yourself today in 2010, why any soldier coming out of the military is refused medical care or limited medical care beyond far short of what they were promised when they enlisted, where is that money? Well, see, this money is being illegally distributed to these organized crime rings. And I've said this on past shows that Cook County, Illinois connects with Maricopa County, Arizona. And Maricopa County, Arizona connects with Salt Lake City, Utah, and some of these other places that we have lists for now. Bountiful is one of them. Cedar City is another place. What would make someone decide that they want to be buried in Utah after they were born in North Carolina, maybe lived their whole life in Alabama? Why would they be buried in Utah?
This makes is a no place.
Sense. Well, it's a place, of course.
That's what Brigham Young said. This is a place. Drive on.
Yeah. And I've seen some examples of some fraudulent coins that Joseph Smith was distributing.
Yes.
Many years ago. In fact, the people could not use the gold. They had to turn in the gold and accept these coins in return, which were bronze and copper coated with a thin layer of gold that wears off over time. Amazing. And you know, they were allowed to do that. Why? Because that gold became part of this crime syndicate. It was encouraged. And these are men of God doing this. You see, that's the umbrella that they created for themselves. Everyone has to trust the you know, God's middleman.
Well, they appointed themselves.
Well, of course. Of course. And this is far, far before the 501c3 designation. This was run-of-the-mill stuff. And it began, the whole reason for me bringing this up, it began in 1942. Began on several levels. We financed the Soviet Union's participation in World War II completely. And that's been going on. These people were allowed to infiltrate our country and receive payment for military service when they were never in the military. They created the fictitious names and killed the people off in certain battles and then got paperwork, got the post office and the VA hospital to forward the papers through the various branches of the military. That's in this research that I did, True.
Right.
That's what's in there. And Eisenhower himself was warned. Well, what do you expect? T.H. Teton gives him a book and a letter. The book is called Germany Plots with the Kremlin. He's not going to stop that. He was part of it. And then you had the McCarthy hearings. Same thing. Even some of the names that they came up with, the names that they banter about in Denison today are part of the McCarthy investigation. And they have two architects for the birthplace home in Denison. Two different architects. One guy died before he could build the building. And the other guy also didn't exist. On paper, they existed, but nowhere else. Nowhere else. They're fictions, see? The whole thing is a ruse.
Huh.
It sounds like they just created Mayberries all over the place.
Oh, yeah. All kinds of berries, not just Mayberries.
Well, I guess I could have said RFB.
Use your imagination.
anymore, I'm kind of out of that imagination. I just every day you get something else that just keeps knocking you down, you know?
Gentlemen, it's, you know, all of this discussion we're having, we're talking about the same group of people all the time, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. They are.
Yep.
So it's not a question of not knowing who these people are, is it?
If you can call them people.
Well, yeah, that's also a very good point. Do you want to expound on that?
Well, they speak with forked tongue, Pilface.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the only forked tongues that I recall in the animal kingdom are those that slither on the ground and don't have legs.
Well, no. Kimono dragons have forked tongues.
Yes, I knew you were going to say that. There are a few.
Those velociraptors have a big forked tongue. But they're supposed to be extinct.
Well, so do 9-foot serpents. Of course, I've never seen you stick your tongue out.
Oh, if you watch the news very carefully, you can see them do it a lot. Like they're catching gnats.
Well, it is. You know, it is this same element, and that what I learned today, again, about the Committee of 300, it's the same dudes. I don't know how else you want to put that, but it's the same international bunch of homosexual, inbred devil worshippers. That's all this is, and they've been around here for many, many thousands of years, coming up, still doing the same thing. You know, and mankind just, in fact, goes along with it. The majority of the minions go along with it. And then they get a bunch of us out here that, in fact, have accepted this. We've been trained. We've been indoctrinated. But who would have ever thought it? Who would ever have believed that that was possible, that we didn't fall for anything? That's how we grew up. We just didn't know that there was an agenda that was different than the pathways that we all went through, did we? We didn't know that somebody, but I'll have to admit, early on in my life, I knew that there was something else, but I just wasn't sure what it was. But listen, I was a healthy rebel in my days, always, always was. But it wasn't rebellion just to be rebellious. It was because I never really wanted to recognize this thing, whatever it was, as some type of superior or some type of authority, even though I've always been a respecter of those, in fact, in enforcement, law enforcement, and those types of things. And that's and it doesn't go beyond that. So I've always been like that. But never in my wildest imagination would I have ever believed that this thing could be as evolved as it is into virtually everybody's life. And look at that beast. Look how ugly that monster is. Look at it. And it's the same one, Don. It's the same one that you've seen throughout history. They look like snakes. I mean, the things that were today are only the things that people would have been put in sanatoriums just back in the 40s and the 50s and 60s. But all this is accurate information. All of it is factual, because in the world that you go to, Don, when people, in fact, are presumed or reported as gone, dead, committed suicide, something, there's something called Project Paperclip that comes up, and we find out that these demon-type beings include Adolf Hitler. The Fuhrer, in fact, died just in 2004, and but the being themselves, Mengele, is still here. Galen is still here. All these monsters are still here somewhere in our midst, and that's what you're exposing. And you know what I say, Don, just keep telling the same thing. Just keep telling. Somebody's going to have to pick up on it and start talking about it, because they're getting ready to just blow up from they can't contain it anymore because there's too many people looking at them. So just keep digging. Just keep saying the same thing, Don. Because I don't know what else there is. That's like the chemtrail. I'll just keep talking about the same thing. You know, I found out this evening that someone that in fact had gotten the methodic demise of Natural Earth, the very first paper I wrote. And they got this. This was a 2007, but they got it from overseas somewhere. Well, Bridget Coleman, who's Arizona Skywatch, she in fact wrote me, and she said, "Is this what you wrote?" Because she said, "It's really been on my mind." And I looked at it, and I said, "Well, here's the original copy." I sent her original copy back, and she looked. No, none of that stuff that was in what she had gotten from overseas had I had written. So that's already began. They're, in fact, trying to reframe everything so it looks like we're supporting, like we should have chemtrails because it protects everything, the semiconductors here on Earth. So it's like an umbrella, you know, it keeps the semiconductors cool in case we have another CME with the solar radiation. Well, you know, I mean, it's just trash like that, absolute idiotic trash that these people are, in fact, putting, trying to disperse through the disinfo intel system as our words. So it just continues, Don. It just goes on and escalates. But hey, I'm cool. You know, I know what I wrote. So I sent her an original copy of the Unified Atmospheric Preservation Act and all those things just to make sure that she's got the right info, and that's what she's passing around. But it's still the same problem.
Now, we have another case of a person being murdered. The youngest son of an attorney by the name of John Hemenway, who coincidentally brought a quo warranto action against the short-legged Mac Daddy in the White House, was shot dead in Bedford, Virginia. I guess this is supposed to convince him he should withdraw the action. You know, it's over and over again we hear these things. So,
and nothing on the media about it.
No, exactly. And you know, we've shown the connections from all these people in the vaccinations, you know, our investigation or the Hardin, Montana American police force fiasco. And you know, you have a CIA, which is controlling the FBI. Certainly the FBI should have been up there investigating the whole thing. And that it was just overlooked. A couple of talk show hosts and researchers and journalists actually expose the story. Two people, and True actually had gotten the person that they picked from what is it, the Billings Gazette? Was that the name of the newspaper, True?
Yes, uh-huh.
The young lady there that worked for the newspaper was hired to be the public relations person for a prison, and you and I and some others uncovered a trail of corruption and lawsuits from people having been bilked out of millions of dollars in Utah and California by these clowns. And when I went into the research, I found a Serbian church in Cincinnati, Ohio, that was actually the conduit for all these funds to send this money overseas. So... Didn't take us too long, and I don't have the manpower of the FBI or the CIA.
Uh-huh.
But what were their people doing while you and I were digging this up? I mean, nobody paid us for this either, did they?
Yeah, I hear you.
You know, so you know the message here, folks, is to become involved. And really, you know, if you're outraged by this, then you have to speak up. We've got a caller on the line, gentlemen. David from the state of Washington is on the line. David, welcome to Evident Footprints. Comment or question for Now two guests, Dr. A. Truat and Dr. Mike Castle.
Well, good evening, and True, and Dr. Mike Castle. Nice to talk with you. I just wanted to call in and say that as you were talking and and agreeing that you all know what we're talking about, we all know what the problem is, I get a feeling that this is like a consensus of righteousness, and we need 1,000 people on the line here tonight with you, all, you know, in chorus, echoing and reverberating with this feeling that you've got here of the wrongness that's been going on for decades and decades, all of our lives and before. And the only way we can stop it is to do something else. We can't continue doing what we're doing. And we have to get together and be as one voice, one people to do it. That's what I feel, I think. That's what I see in it. And, so anyway, I just wanted to give you that, pass that thought that I had come to me along, and tell you that I thought that was really to me that was a moment of unity right when you said that a little bit ago. I said, "Wow, that's it." You hear like a bunch of guys sitting around talking, and suddenly everybody says, "Hey, we all got it. Yep, that's it. That's where we're at. That's what it is." So you've done the work for. You're out front. You guys are all doing the finding stuff. I like to look around and read history and do some research, but certainly I haven't found a way to delve into it as deeply as you men have. But that's why I passed that that query along to you some couple of weeks ago, Don, about that. That search engine, that, what the heck was that called? Earthly or some deep research. It's the one that the agencies use.
Oh, yes. And right away, when I looked that up, I mean, it was obvious who they were working for.
I called the guy.
The name escapes me, but it's Bright something
Will,
or other.
Will something. Will something. Will Rushton or Will Rushy or something like that his name is.
Yeah, but the name of his corporation is basically setting up the infrastructure for all the things that that the man in the clip that I played talked about. The intrusion into your email and the gathering of data, listening to your phone calls, all of this.
Mm-hmm. It'll be like a 10-dimensional chessboard.
Yes.
Their search capability.
Yeah.
They'll find it anywhere on the board. And it's just a mathematical, I guess, problem for them to solve. And they've come along for hundreds of years planning this stuff, and now they've got people working for them that can do their bidding. Have come along with technology, and it's really zooming along fast. But we've got to get we if we're going to do anything, we got to do it. I mean, together.
And, yes, I agree with you. You know that. For the listeners out there, what David is talking about is a company that basically gathers all this data, and they set up the infrastructure for this. It's probably somebody who's going to play a role in this project that True's been talking about on his show that's underway in Utah, this massive data collection facility. That's going to, you mentioned it's something like 36, is it million megawatts? Something really outrageous amount of power that they're going to use. for this thing, and or they plan. And let's not say they're going to, but let's just say they have this plan.
Right.
The solution, David, that I see, and I talked recently with Lindsay Williams about this, and he's going to be on the show Thursday, actually Wednesday night, I should say, this Wednesday, the 5th, and into Thursday morning in some places. We have to turn to God. We literally must all turn to God.
Right now.
Right now. This is not something, you know, you don't start a rally, plan a rally, and go march somewhere. Each of us individually have to do this. We have to get down on our knees and pray to the Creator, not the false God that they present to us here. Mm-hmm. See, these are Satanists. These people all practice Satanism. All of these, I named some churches, but I could name secret societies, Skull and Bones. The Freemasons are a big part of this. And then you have the societies that control the Vatican, Opus Dei, and the Jesu Society, the Jesuits. Those groups all are one and the same entity. They're different organs of the same entity working together. And they have their own interests at heart and their own ways that they mask themselves or present themselves to the public, which is really wearing a mask. They're never who they say they are. And the point I'm trying to make is they can pretend to be somebody if they were all that righteous themselves, they wouldn't have to do that, would they?
Oh, they're not righteous, my Lord, no.
Oh, they think they are. They're above the law, right? Laws that they created,
you know,
for us.
I don't think they think they're righteous. I think they think they're right, but without the connotation of a divine rightness. In righteousness is the way I kind of perceive that. But they want everybody that they present themselves to and their plans to think that they're righteousness.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Yes.
Yes, okay. Yeah. Agree with you.
We're in agreement. They say that they're righteous. They want us to think that they're righteous or believe.
Mm-hmm.
And
but they're really leftious, aren't they? Because they can't be righteous.
Yeah. Well, David, I got to let you go. We're out of time here, but I appreciate your call and your comment. Certainly that opens up the solution. We're going to be talking about this throughout the week on each show. So do stay tuned. And I guess David's gone. So, gentlemen, we've got to conclude the show. Mike Castle, I'm going to give you a moment to make a concluding remark, and then true.
Okay. First, Don, thanks for inviting me on. I always appreciate it, and I really gets me kind of out of the stupor of what went on today and all those things. But nonetheless, today was a day of not vast achievement. It was a day of reflection, of course. I keep as much of a watch on what they're doing to the sky as anything and what they're doing to the weather, all those types of things. But, you know, it's kind of all for naught. I'm tired of doing that. I'm tired, in fact, seeing what they're going to do to me this time, what they're going to spray us with today. Well, I'll be happy to report they didn't even get the high altitude reflectance in the air. So we have virtually a background of an azure blue sky all day. That's like a lake blue. You know, it's just a certain tone. It's gorgeous. Well, anyways, we lost that in the afternoon, and we got the chemtrails. The high altitudes moved in with the weather system. Bizarre stuff. And then I listened to the story behind the story today. I listened to Doug Millar and his guest, and it just kept confirming things. And I know a lot of other people were listening to that show. I know it gave them some answers, because here's a person that, in fact, just went almost like staccato, fast forward on all these things that we've always kind of like held a little bit of reservation. And if, I mean, not that this person, but a person couldn't make up the stuff that he was talking about. You just can't do that. I don't care if you're a movie star and you learn the script. You can't get that good of knowing specific information about all these things leading up to the day. And I certainly do pray for that man's protection as well, because that is this monster that is after all of us, and we can't be fearsome. We can't fear this. As the gentleman, in fact, pointed out, and we talked about before, and Don, you know, we've got to pray. We've got to just, in our moment, in our time, just get down on our knees and pray to God Almighty that he, in fact, brings about that which manifests itself, whatever it is, to pull this scourge away from us, to pull this darkness and spread it out away from us. I don't care what you do with these minions. They were going to get cast into outer darkness. Well, anyways, that's maybe hopeful for another day. But anyway, that's just my closing, and I appreciate David's comments to that.
Yes, and you're going to be my guest tomorrow night, so I want to thank you and look forward to that. True, you can call into tomorrow's show if you want.
Well, I've actually got another radio show to do tomorrow night as well. I've just, oh my heavens, in fact, I'll have Mr. Parkinson probably on again tomorrow too. I've been right, as you're talking, I'm reading his personal emails to me, and more in-depth discussion that wasn't even discussed or touched on the show today. So we're going to follow through with that and his even more CIA revelations concerning the NSA's new plant here in Utah. I'm just stunned. This Katrina. This is what I call Obama's Katrina. I just also found out today he was there on site. We're talking Obama was there actually interviewing the heads of the fisheries, saying this is going to put you completely out of business. We're going to compensate you royally. And yet the oil spill hasn't even hit yet. It's all being planned, and now we find out that he had an executive order completely banning the Gulf of California, the Gulf of Mexico, offshore fishing, and this was well before the events of the oil spill. Just absolutely an amazing revelation that just came out, and he doesn't need to be there on site doing this. He can do this by video conferencing or by a telephone call. Something is definitely going on here, and it involves Mexico as well. The Mexican government will be involved in this before we're done. You wait and see. I go back to what we had with Rob Thompson. He's, again, his visit from his deceased father. His explanation that he gave on my show talked about a massive earth-changing series of events this spring, June, July. And yes, indeed, we've had people that I just sent emails to me. I've just been reading them just this evening. That the CIA officials that are honest, there are good men and women in the CIA, believe it or not. They're now starting to leak what's being planned, the big, huge false flag event. And it has to start in with a natural catastrophe of epic proportions. And again, it's just all, there's a plan to this oil rig sabotage, Don, that's much, much deeper.
Yes.
Much, much deeper.
I don't doubt that. When you talk to Brian Parkinson, is it?
Yes.
Tell him, from what I've heard about his information, I'd like to have him on this show as well.
Could do that.
Our listeners certainly would appreciate hearing what he has to say. And I wouldn't be surprised if any of his information dovetails with some things that I brought out.
Well, you better be careful with having Dr. Mike on the show too much, because he happens to get people mad enough that they cancel shows. You know what I'm talking about?
Doc Thought, I'm still scratching my head on this. I don't know if I ever get an answer or not.
Well, Barbara Jean, I had a good long talk with her. She was my guest host Tuesday and Wednesday. Did a magnificent job. I had tremendous feedback, dozens of emails, congratulatory emails of thanking me for having her on. Basically, I was just I promised her that she would be able to guest host anytime she wanted to, because I basically took over her time slot. She was the one with RBN, but she couldn't, with her ailing husband getting on in years, she couldn't keep working that many hours without compensation. So she basically resigned, and then John Stadmiller, the owner of RBN, asked me to fill in for her. Well, John Stadmiller came on numerous times during her broadcast and was threatening to pull the show. Then with her, he was very upset that she would come on the show again after what happened, and yet it's craziness. It's absolutely nuts what's going on. So I hate to tell you this, Dr. Mike, it wasn't you.
Oh man, shoot! I thought it was that Waxman statement. I made, you know, that crack. I think I did call him a snake and a reptilian right there on air, and I found out that kind of like sets Mr. Stadmiller off. He don't like anybody saying M thing, because that's like that ET and stuff, Don. You know what I'm saying?
Doggone, you can't do that. And I've got I just got a letter from Doug Kaufman. He has that a TV show. It's very big on cable. There is a natural health representative, etc. He's taking Waxman to task big time with a multi-million letter campaign where he's just, you know, submarining the supplement industry completely. And so we're very much involved with that out of Oklahoma and Texas as well. So, you know, God bless you, Dr. Mike, and call it like you see it. Speaking with forked tongues, Mr. Waxman.
Huh? Yeah. I appreciate that, sir. Like I said, I sat down in front of him one other time on the Oversight Committee back in 97. Fast forward, he did not want me to say what I was going to say, and it was testimony to the Congress about the USAPA and the corruption that existed back then. And he didn't want us to talk. So anyways, Waxman and I, as a matter of fact, I think I leaned over and told my associate at the time, Don Paris, he was my business associate, and we're sitting there at this great big oak table with these microphones stuck in front of us. Well, Waxman shut Congress down for 45 minutes by a procedure or something. So anyways, Waxman was the only one sitting up there flipping through our testimony with one of his key aides up there beside him. And he was sitting there, and I looked at Don, and I said, you know what, if that guy keeps giving me dirty looks, I said, I'm going to give him the finger. Don took and shoved those microphones away back from my face. Waxman looked up, he snapped his head, and he looked at me, and I thought, come on, I'm ready for you. He brought Rick Santorum in, and in fact, set that little runt down in front of us, and he gave butt-kissing testimony of how wonderful the EPA is, how wonderful Philadelphia Region 3 is, every bit of it corrupt, but nonetheless, Santorum fit in there like a glove. But anyways, you know, we give testimony. We gave our testimony. But you know what difference it made?
Well,
none.
No. Right. Yeah, it's not Waxman. It's Waxworm, by the way.
Wax. Hey, I call him. He's the classic draconian, man. He's the classic drac.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, old hippie.
Gentlemen, I want to thank you for being on the show. We do have to close now. So
yes, sir. Good night,
John. We could go on for a couple more hours. I encourage you and the listeners to tune in the rest of this week. We're going to be talking about these issues, and as we gather more facts, we're going to supply the information. Now, we have sort of a rhetorical question wondering if the rig spill might have had something to do with a covert airplane that got lost. That's always a possibility, but I don't have the details on that, so I can't comment in any meaningful way, but we'll look into that. So whoever sent that question in, that might have been Seth himself on the board asking that question. We will look into that. Certainly, this is sabotage. Certainly, this is more corruption. Now I have the message that it was Don that asked that question. So, Don Newsom, that is. we'll try to answer that sometime this week. The answers as to what is going on are going to become clearer on Wednesday night's show, and understanding who these people are on Thursday night's show. Wednesday, again, is Lindsey Williams. He's got three new DVDs that he's releasing, and the topic of the show is going to be The Elite Speak. And this is new information that no one's heard yet. Also, on Thursday, Dr. Christopher Holmes is going to be my guest. He has a show called Zero Point on BBS Radio every other Saturday, and we're going to be discussing his book, The Heart Doctrine. I haven't read the whole thing, but I can tell you it's a fascinating book, what I've read so far, and it gets right to the heart of the matter. I understand totally what he's saying in this book, and I think anyone can. And the answers we're looking for are actually in this book, because this is a spiritual battle that is occurring here. That is the one thing that we must recognize, and it is the modus operandus that we have to apply to create the change that was suggested. As David in Washington stated, we must do something different. This is their game, their playing field, and it's corrupt. And we can't clean it up because it was never intended to be clean. So with that said, gentlemen, I want to thank you for being on the show. That wraps it up, folks. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com, and tonight's special guest, Dr. A. Truott and Dr. Mike Castle. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting Evident Footprints and blogtalkradio.com. Join me tomorrow when our guest will be Dr. Mike Castle. In the meantime, I want to thank at BBS Radio both Seth Hendrick on the sound and Don Newsom. Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and you folks for tuning in. I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.